Thank you for leading us, Brother Hank, and thank you for those of you who joined with us and prayed with us. Thank you. It's always good to have a good season of prayer. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 7, and then hold your place there and go to Galatians chapter number 4. And that's where we'll find some of the scripture. We're going to turn to some scripture tonight, and so I wanted to give you those first two. We'll start out in Galatians, and then we'll go back to Isaiah chapter number 7. So if you'll find those two places. Looking forward to the services this Lord's Day. We have a young man who is going to be baptized, and he's excited about it. He got saved. And he's going to be baptized, and God's doing a great work in his life. And he and his wife and two children will be joining the church Sunday. And so we're excited about that. And then Sunday night, we'll have our Christmas candlelight service. I always look forward to that time. All right, Galatians chapter 4, and you'll hopefully have your finger in Isaiah chapter number 7. Stand to your feet and we'll read out of Galatians 4. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Galatians 4, I'm going to just read down through verse number 6, and then I want to focus in on a particular phrase in verse number 4. Tonight, I don't know how much preaching I'll do. I want to try to teach you some things that I hope will be a great encouragement to you. And if you don't get anything else out of the message tonight, I pray to God that you would remember this. God is sovereign. Now, we hear that word a lot. And we think we know, you know, all there is to know about God, but we haven't even scratched the surface. God is that big. And I just want you to understand God is in total control. Now, our world is spiraling out of control seemingly, but it's spiraling exactly the way God would have it to spiral. God is in control. He orders the events and the affairs of man, and that includes you. God's in control of your life. Say, well, there's a lot of things going on in my life that I do not want. God wants them in your life. That's why they're going on in your life. God permits things. Now listen, we bring things on ourselves. Amen. We do. But God permits them. And God can take the bad and bring good out of it. You believe that? I hope you do. It's biblical. And so let's look at this scripture. Galatians chapter number 4. Now I say that their heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I want you to look with me in verse number 4, the phrase, but when the fullness of the time was come. And I want to just speak to you for a few moments on that. The fullness of the time. We're getting ready to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people would say, well, you know, you shouldn't celebrate Christmas. Well, you know, I don't know why we wouldn't. Well, the Bible doesn't say so. Well, the Bible doesn't say not to, you know, right? But now what a lot of folks are doing is really not celebrating Christmas. They're just celebrating, but they're not celebrating Christmas. And I want you and I want to celebrate Christmas. And so I want to give you some things to think about as we celebrate. The fullness of the time. Let's pray. Father, please help me to relay to the hearts of these people what you've put upon my heart from your word. May your Holy Spirit teach us what it is to celebrate the true reason for this season. Help us, I pray now. Teach us from your word and bring to our remembrance things that would help us to celebrate in a way that would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So as you look, you can be seated. I'm sorry. Yeah. Amen. So when we think about Christmas, we think about God sent his son. As a matter of fact, if you look down in verse number 6, it says, God hath sent forth his son. It also says it in verse number 4, God sent forth his son. God orchestrated all of this. Everything that happened, right on down to the timing. And I'm going to just bring a few things to your attention. You probably know these things. Many of you do. But we just need to be reminded that God is in control. There's so many things that happen day in and day out that can cause us to wonder, what is going on? Why is this happening? And we just need to be reminded afresh, God is in control. He has not lost control. He is sovereign, and he is a providential God. So I want us to go back, and I want to, and you have your finger in Isaiah chapter number 7, and I want to talk just a little bit about the birth of Jesus, okay? It was prophesied. Now, Isaiah prophesied this in chapter 7, and there were other prophecies of it. And some of the prophecies I'm going to share with you tonight, listen, there's a number of other prophecies. And so these are not the only prophecies. I'm just going to share a prophecy and then show you the fulfillment of it because I'm leading up, I'm building to something to help us to remember some things. Number one, what God says is so. What God promises, he will deliver. All right? You can count on the promises of God. Amen. If God says it's so, brethren, it's so. Whether you can see it or not, whether you think that it's so or not, whether you realize it or you think, well, you know what, it doesn't appear to be. It doesn't matter what it appears to be. If God said it is so, it is so. And it's going to happen. And so in Isaiah chapter number 7, the prophecy of the virgin birth of Jesus in verse number 14, I want you to look there with me. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, we know that Emmanuel means God with us, but hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Now, listen carefully. You know this, but I want you just to think with me now. Let the Spirit of God work in your heart. Hundreds of years. When the Scripture was being recorded by the prophets in the Hebrew, it was predominantly Hebrew. There's a little Aramaic involved in the Old Testament language of the Scripture, the original language. And so when it was being recorded by the Jews into the scrolls and the Scripture was being put forth as God spoke through his prophets and as his prophets spoke to his people, he said, I am going to do this. He said, Isaiah, tell them that this is what's going to happen. And so now as we fast forward hundreds of years into Matthew, and I want you to turn there. We're going to ask you to turn to some Scripture, so this may be kind of like a sword drill. Matthew chapter number 1. Turn there if you would. So we fast forward hundreds of years into Matthew. The predominant language is no longer Hebrew, even among God's people. Okay? And we'll get to this in a moment. God had so orchestrated things in the world that the predominant language was Greek. Linguistically, as far as the language, it was kind of like English is today. It was kind of a universal language, the Greek language. And so the New Testament, you know, times was brought on and Jesus was brought into the world. And in Matthew, when Matthew began to pen, this had already happened. But he said, this is what I want you to know. He said in Matthew chapter 1, look at verse number 18. And again, you know this, but I want you to know God fulfilled this. Matthew 1, verse number 18, the Bible says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. when as his mother was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. All right? Just the way God said it was going to happen. All right? God said this is what was going to happen. There's going to be a virgin. All right, so well, now, can a virgin have a child? Yes, if God says she can, she can. Well, I just don't understand how that can happen. Doesn't matter if you understand it. God said it, it's so. Amen. I think that sometimes we think, well, you know what? If I don't understand it, then I don't have to receive it. No, you, by faith, we may not fully understand, but by faith, we believe. Right? We believe all things. You may not understand all things. Paul wrote that in 1 Corinthians 13. Listen, you may not understand all things, but we believe all things by faith. And so he said in verse number 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It's not of another man. All right? God did this. And in Luke it said that holy thing, right? That holy thing that is in her, that seed of God that is in Mary, the Virgin Mary, is God Himself. It is the Lord Jesus. God is going to become flesh. And so he went on down to say in verse number 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, watch this. Now, all this was done. Why? Because God wants you to know who's in control. That's why. Now, all this was done. Why? That it might be fulfilled. That God might show you that what he says is so. It's going to come to pass. Why? Because God said it was. Now, all this, in verse number 22, was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, and he's going back and he's quoting Isaiah. So what is happening here? Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which be it interpreted is God with us. Now, all this happened, why? So that you might know when God says something, you can bank on it. Because God is in control. All right? Let me show you something else. That deals with the procedure of his birth. God said, my son is coming into this world through a virgin's womb. And he did. He did. Let's look at the place of his birth. Okay? I want you to turn to Micah. We just so happen to have a gentleman in the service tonight named Micah. Turn to Micah. Micah chapter number 5. So that may be a little harder to find. Well, just look for it. Amen. I'll give you the opportunity to find it. It's in the Minor Prophets. That's the only hint I can give you. Micah chapter number 5. All right? Turn there if you would. In Micah chapter number 5, we'll read what the Scripture says in verse number 2. Still here a few pages. Don't be ashamed if you're new at this. If we've got some folks who haven't been saved very long, just look in front of your Bible and find out what page Micah's on and turn to it. That's okay. So I've been saved a few years and I'm still going to do that. That's okay too. Amen. All right, Micah chapter number 5. Look if you would in verse number 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And he said, so not only am I going to send my son, he said, Isaiah, I want you to tell him that my son's coming and he's going to be born of a virgin. Essentially what he said to Isaiah is, tell him I'm coming, Emmanuel. I'm going to come and dwell with him. Amen. God with us. I'm going to come and dwell with them in the second person of the Godhead, and you tell them I'm coming through the virgin's womb. And that's exactly what happened. And then he said, tell them that it's going to happen in Bethlehem. All right? Now, there's a reason God did this. Because God wants you to know he's in control. What God says is so. So you go over now, okay, turn back, if you would, into Luke, just for a moment. Luke chapter number 2, or Yeah, Luke chapter number 2. And again, this is not the only place where it says that he was born in Bethlehem, but in Luke chapter number 2, we know this story very well is kind of the story of the season. There was a taxing upon the people. The people began to move in accordance to the census. And the scripture says in Luke chapter number 2, in verse number 4, that Joseph also went up, you there, Luke chapter 2, verse 4, from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth. Now, we're going to talk about this in just a moment, if you'll stick with me. So here was Joseph in Nazareth, him and Mary. But now, Micah said, Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. And so God got the wheels turning. Amen. He did. He got the wheels turning. And the scripture says that Joseph was up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. All right? And that's exactly where Joseph and Mary, because of the taxation, went back to their hometown, and Mary had Jesus in the town that God had told Micah to tell the people that that's where he was going to be born. So God said he's going to be born of a virgin. And he said, Isaiah, tell him. And he did. And Matthew said, that's what happened. And then he said, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Micah, tell him. And he did. And Luke said, that's where it happened. You know why? Because things always happen the way God says they're going to happen. And you and I need to remember this. And sometimes when we get so caught up and entrenched in this world, we lose sight of that. We lose sight that there's an unseen hand that is governing in the affairs of men. And he is the one true and living God. And I'm glad I know him. And I'm glad I can trust him. And the God that was moving in this day is moving in our day. And the God that was orchestrating people to get them where he wanted them is still orchestrating people getting them where he wants them today. And that includes you. And that includes me. And you need to remember that. Okay? Don't ever lose sight of that. Because the devil will have you to lose sight of that. The flesh will have you to try to cut that out and make you think, no, I'm in control. No, you're not. No, you're not. Now, you have a will. And you can go astray. But behind your will is a sovereign God. I want you to know that. All right? I'm glad God made us free moral agents, aren't you? But I am so glad that God is at work. God, I've said this so many times in my ministry. God is a God of activity. He is always at work. The wheels of God are always turning, brethren. God is always working. Even when you can't see it, God is at work in your life. And so I pray you'd remember that. You say, preacher, I'm in a bad place right now. I'm in a dark place. I'm in a hard place. Well, God's not through. God's still working. God hasn't sit you there and quit working. God's still working in your situation, and I want you to know that. All right? The third thing I want you to see is not only the procedure and the place, but the persecution. Turn, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 31. I told you I was going to turn some, okay? You know the persecution, right? Jeremiah, you read this? Jeremiah 31. Give you an opportunity to find it. God said, this is what's going to happen when my son comes to be born in the world. In Jeremiah 31, look at verse 15. And I'm going to have to just, I'm going to speed up a little bit so I can get through this. I'm laying a foundation here. All right? Verse 15 says, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Now I want you to turn to Matthew again, chapter number 2. Now this is what God told Jeremiah the prophet. He said, Tell them that when my son comes, it's going to be dark. And there's going to be some tragic things that happen around his birth. And you turn to Matthew chapter 2, and you find in verse number 16, Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, it says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now, why did that happen? Look at verse 17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. See, it happened just like God said it happened. Just like God said it was going to happen hundreds of years before it happened. It happened. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian. It doesn't matter if you're if you're just a nominal church attender. It doesn't even matter if you're an atheist. You can't deny that these prophecies were prophesied hundreds of years and before God brought them to pass. They were fulfilled. So, well, maybe it just a coincidence, Pastor. You think so? All of this? And there's hundreds of more that I'm not going to go through? No, there's a God in heaven, and He is orchestrating things on this earth. He is in total control in heaven. He has given us free will. Listen, the will of God is done in heaven. The will of God is not always done in earth, but I want to tell you something. Ultimately, when all is said and done, the will of God will be performed. It will be accomplished. Thy will, when Jesus said, listen, when the disciples said, teach us to pray, how should we pray? He said, the best thing that can happen for you is you need to pray that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I could just take for the next 15 minutes and tell you how God's will is done in heaven, and it would make you want to go there. It's done completely. God's will is done completely in heaven. It's done swiftly. You think people lag behind when God says get something done in heaven? No, it's done swiftly. Amen. And it just, God's will is done. And so God prophesied some things and then it happened. Now, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but I'll ask you to write these down. God said in Genesis 22, He said, the seed of Abraham, not seeds, the seed of Abraham, through the seed, all the earth is going to be blessed. That's Genesis 22, 18. Okay? Through the seed of Abraham. When you turn to Matthew chapter 1, well, you're here in Matthew 2, so you can turn back to Matthew 1 just for a moment. Look at verse number 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, why do you think Matthew did that? Why do you think Matthew put that? Because he wanted you to know, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, just like God said back in the beginning in the book of Genesis, it happened. Jesus is the offspring of the seed of Abraham. When you read Genesis 49, verse 10, write it down. The Bible says He's coming from the tribe of Judah. You know what Luke 3 says? He came from the tribe of Judah. Amen. He says this in Isaiah chapter 11. Write it down. Isaiah chapter 11. He's coming to the family of Jesse. You know what Luke chapter 3 says? He came through the family of Jesse. You know why? Because God is in control. And God wants me to realize this. I need to be reminded of this. I don't know about you. I think you do. I think we all do. We need to be reminded that God is in control. Not the devil. Not the enemy. Not me. Listen. Not the Illuminati. That's right. God is in control. But if you're not careful, you'll see so many things, and I'll see so many things, and we'll say, well, maybe this person's in control, or that person's in control. No, it's happening just like these prophecies happened, and Jesus came just like God said He was going to come, and He did. God has also orchestrated when He's coming back the second time, and we're here. See, we wasn't there. Isaiah was. Matthew was. Okay, these people were in the predicting of these prophecies and the fulfilling of these prophecies. We were not there, but we're here. And we're part of prophecy too, because there's been some prophecies about His second coming. And we're living in those prophecies, and we're seeing them fulfilled just like we have read that these were fulfilled. You know why? Because what God says always comes to pass, brethren. It always comes to pass. That's why you need to put your life into His hands. Don't hold back. Say, well, I'm going to give Him my heart, but I'm going to keep my will for myself. You're going to miss out, is what you're going to do. Well, now I'm going to give him this, but I'm going to keep this for me. No, you're going to miss God's best for your life. Don't miss God's best for your life because you was not willing to trust him with all of you. God knows how to orchestrate things to bring the best out of your life and my life. Now, I want to move on to something else. I'm going to read you something. But as I do, I want you to turn back to Galatians, okay? Galatians chapter 4. The fullness of the time. Well, we looked at his birth. We looked at how he came and prophetically. But I want to tell you a little bit about history, okay? You say, I don't want a history lesson. Well, I'm sorry. You're going to get one. I'm really not sorry. So when Jesus came, look, if you would, in Galatians 4, it says, but when the fullness of the time was come, that means that God had so orchestrated everything that God said, not only am I orchestrating how he's going to come, but I'm going to orchestrate when he comes. God had the world primed. That's what that phrase, the fullness of the time, means. God had the world set up for him to come into this world. See, God can do that. I can't do that. You can't do that. The government can't do that. World powers can't do that. But God can do that. And we need to grasp this, okay? You need to grab hold of this. It's going to help you to put all of your life into his hands and trust him. Trust him. You can trust him. So, well, I don't understand. You can still trust him. I don't see the outcome in this, preacher. You can still trust him. God has your best interest in mind. Listen, I like what one man said. He said, listen, sometimes I cannot see the hand of God, but I can always trust the heart of God. Can I tell you that is so? Sometimes I don't know what God is doing, but I know that he's doing right by me. Because God only knows how to do right. And his eye is upon me. And his eyes upon you. We're his children. And he's going to take care of us. Politically speaking, I want to read this to you. What was the environment? What was the surroundings in the fullness of the time when Jesus came? And I'm just going to give you a little bit here. Politically, the ruling powers of Rome had brought economic and political stability. One could travel safely throughout the empire and could do so on the magnificent systems of roads built by the Romans. Okay, so God had put in water systems. He allowed things to kind of get in place so that the gospel could go forth. All right? He had allowed some stability to come. And I know it looked like it was a terrible time. The Romans were kind of, ruling with a rod of iron, and it looked terrible. But see, that all happened so that there could be a season politically so that when Christ came, that it could happen in the way it came. All right? That's politically speaking. The fullness of the time happened that way. God knew that it was going to happen that way. Second, culturally, Alexander the Great. Listen, even if you don't have to be a Christian. This is secular history. It's proven. And yet it lines up. You can call it secular if you want to, okay? It's spiritual history. History is his story. It all evolves around Christ, brethren. Listen, I know people don't want to come to terms with this. I know people don't want to receive this. But it really doesn't matter whether I want to receive it or you want to receive it or people outside the church want to receive it. It's what God has done. God is in control. God orchestrated this, and it's so. And God is still orchestrating. God is still orchestrating. He's orchestrating things in my life, in your life, in this world. Even today, he is still orchestrating things. We need to get a hold of that. Culturally, Alexander the Great had thoroughly established Greek culture throughout the then known world. Isn't that something? So, guess what happened when Jesus was born into the world? The Hebrews, listen to me now, had gone into Egypt. They had stayed there and they were under the influence. Many came up under the influence of Egyptian scholars. We know Moses did. There were others who did. So they come out. I mean, we're talking about a wilderness people here, okay? They come out And there, many of them received some education, and so when they came out, God used what they had received there. It was a terrible time, but God used it because God was orchestrating some things. You know why? Because in this time, in the fullness of the time, there needed to be a Greek Old Testament. Now, please listen to me. It's called the Septuagint. Do your research. Because the language that was common to the people of that day was Greek, not Hebrew. And so the scriptures of that day was the Old Testament. But yet the language of that day was Greek. So what does God do? Alexander the Great, you know how he conquered the then known world, and he had a great influence with the language of the Greeks. And so it became the language of the people. And the Hebrews that had come out of Egypt had some education then, and they used that education to translate their scripture, Hebrew, Aramaic scripture, into the Greek, so that there was an Old Testament in Greek, and it's called the Septuagint. That's not an accident. That's not just a coincidence. That's God at work. God at work so that everybody could have access to the Word of God at that time. They could have access, and it was translated, and it became then more than just the Jewish Bible. All right? So, culturally speaking, the stage was set. The stage was set. Why? Because please don't think when Paul was preaching after Jesus was had resurrected and ascended back into heaven, please don't think that Paul was trying to reach only the Jews. I know he went into the temple first, but he was trying to reach the Gentiles. What were those people speaking? He wasn't speaking Hebrew. Listen to me. God orchestrated all of that. So, well, preacher, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me. Well, it ought to mean a lot to you. Because that God who was orchestrating in that time is our God, same God orchestrating in our time. And he's just setting things up, brethren. And so when you look at things, whether it be a newscast, whether it be a news article, whether it be a personal matter in your own life, please don't look at it like, oh my goodness, God has forsaken me. No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. God's at work in your life. God is at work. God's always at work in people's lives. Let me give you a couple of other things. Spiritually, the religions of the day, and we're talking about the times, the fullness of the times when God sent forth his Son, was flickering. This particular individual said, like dying embers, and I believe him. I don't have to go into detail for those of you who've read just a little bit of the scripture. You know that the Pharisees and the scribes were just hypocrites. There had been 400 solid years. Really, religion had become no more than just a set of rules, you know, and man-made at that, traditions of men. And so here comes the Lord Jesus, and so then he begins to say, speak the very word of God, really, is what he does. And I mean, it challenges people. Can I tell you the word of God still challenges people? People today, they get furious when you preach the word of God. They get furious. You understand that, right? I mean, they get angry. I'm not going to make this about me, but I've got a sodomite right now. He is attacking me. You think I'm going to stop preaching against sodomy because I have a sodomite attacking me? Absolutely not. I'm not going to stop preaching against sin. I love people. I witness to sodomites. I do. I want to see people get saved, but I'm not going to quit preaching against sin because somebody tries to threaten me or trash me. Forget that. You don't know who I am, my friend. I'm God's child. I'm God's man. Going to preach the Bible. Amen. Like it or not, I'm going to preach the word. It's what God's called me to do. And I want to encourage you as a Christian to live the word. Present the word. Share the word. Don't let them stop you now. Don't let them stop you. There's a system out here trying to stop us. It's the system of Antichrist. Please hear me. They want to shut the mouths of Christians. Don't be silent, brethren. Don't back down. Now, don't be arrogant. And don't be nasty and don't be mean-spirited, but by all means, don't be a coward now. Stand up, the songwriter said. Stand up for Jesus. Preach the truth. Sound the alarm. Judgment is coming. Hell is hot. Amen. Sound the alarm. And so the spiritual time of this time was very dead. It was just religion and it's man-made stuff. But God was in control. You know what the Bible says? I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but write this down. Daniel 2:21, He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. God is in control. Now, I don't like Joe Biden. Didn't vote for him. I wouldn't have voted for him if he was the only person running for president. Well, that offends me, preacher. Well, you have the right to vote for who you want to vote for, and I have the right to vote for who I want to vote for. I would never vote for Joe Biden. So, well, I don't know. You might lose some people. If I lose somebody over that, then my goodness. Amen. Amen. I got it wrote down. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to turn two more scriptures and I'll be through. Luke chapter 2. Well, what am I saying tonight, brethren? I'm saying that the fullness of the time, God brought to pass what He said He was going to bring to pass. In Luke chapter number 2, if you go back to chapter 1 just for a moment, and you look at verse number 26 of chapter 1, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. You know why? Because God was orchestrating some things. I don't want you to miss this. I know I'm probably not bringing it across like I was getting it in my study, because I had tears running down my face, probably ready to do cartwheels. Okay? I mean, I was excited when God was just reminding me, I know this stuff. This is not deep stuff. This is kind of shallow stuff. But it's the Word of God, and it's great to be reminded who's in control. Amen. Sometimes I just need the Holy Ghost of God to just nudge me in my heart and remind me, Dale, you're not in control. Biden's not in control. The Illuminati's not in control. Satan's not in control. The enemy's not in control. I'm in control. I just need the Holy Ghost to remind me God's in control. I just do. I think you do too. I think we all do. Chapter number 1, verse number 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee, and that city was called Nazareth. Now, what do you think that God was sending an angel, Gabriel, down to Nazareth for? Because God had to get some people in Nazareth out of Nazareth into a little town called Bethlehem. That's why. Why? Because He said that's where they were going to be when the Son would be born. You see what God is doing here? Angels are, listen, discharged from heaven to accomplish His purposes, brethren. Whatever it takes, God's purposes are going to be accomplished. I just want you to leave here with that thought resonating in your heart tonight. Whatever God needs to do, He will do to make sure His word comes to pass. Sent an angel down to a little virgin girl, and He said, verse number 27, He sent her down to this virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Virgin's name was Mary. He told her what was going to happen. When you do the math, she went and met Elizabeth, all right? She went and met Elizabeth. Do the math. The scripture says that John was born Mary was with child. They were rejoicing. And so Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, when Mary said, you're with child and I'm with child. And boy, she was just excited. The babe leaped. I find that interesting. The first person that rejoiced is the people that, it was a person that people are trying to abort, you know, little child in the belly rejoicing, praising God in the womb. Amen. John the Baptist born. Mary went back home. Read chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, God said, well, it's time to get them going. Got to get them going. Why? Got to get them out of Nazareth. Why? Read chapter 2. Got to get them down into Bethlehem. So Caesar Augustus, if you'll look in chapter number 2 and verse number 1, old Caesar Augustus thought, you know what? I'm large and in charge. I'm going to tax these people. I'm going to show them who's in charge. You're just a pawn in the game, my friend. These people running around with these titles thinking, I'm in charge, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Really? Really? Man is so arrogant and proud. And if you're not careful, you'll be. And if I'm not careful, I'll be. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and really remember now who's in charge. So here's O Caesar Augustus. I'll show him who's in charge. Yeah, you showed him all right. You did exactly what God needed to get done to get Joseph and Mary out of Nazareth into Bethlehem. Read the story. It's right here. Why? Because God said it was going to happen that way. And God can use you to get things to happen the way he wants it to happen. God can get me. God can get the government. God can get Caesars. God can get kings. God can get enemies. God can get wise men. God can get fools. But God's purposes are going to be accomplished. All right? Well, I don't have time to go in anymore. I just wanted you to leave tonight with the understanding that this Christmas season, it's not about Santa Claus. It's not about Frosty. It's not. It's not about Rudolph. It's not about family gatherings. It's not. I'm for family gatherings. Going to gather with mine. Love it. Love it. It's about God with us. It's about Emmanuel. It's about the God of heaven. And I pray that God would help me to remember that. God is in control. He is. You know, the first Christmas drew a lot of people. Go back and study it as we stand to our feet. Go back and study it. It drew shepherds from the field. It drew wise men from afar. It drew angels from heaven. The first Christmas drew a lot of people. I want my Christmas to be Christian, not commercial. I expect commercial Christmas from people who are not Christian. But as Christians, I want to celebrate Christmas as a Christian. I just do. And I believe you do too. I believe you do too. The God who's in control will take care of you. I want you to realize this. He'll take care of you. Some are hurting. Some are going through very difficult times, very trying times. God is at work now. God is at work. I just feel sure when Mary was on the road to Bethlehem, she was thinking, what in the world is happening? Here I am full with child, and my husband has me out here on the back of this animal going to a town to pay a tax. What is he doing? May have been wondering what was God doing. I don't know. But it all fit in God's plan. Your journey is going to fit in God's plan too. So you remember that. He'll take care of you. Let's pray together.